accession number 18266, Reel 4.
This is Beasley Reel 4.
We shouted for the Prime Minister and we cheered and cheered when he came out. And then the crowd seemed to want to go down to find the King. So we all cheered and laughed and held hands with total strangers and danced and went right down the Mall and stood outside Buckingham Palace. And there the King and the Queen came out, and I don't know what time it was by then. It must have been about 11 o'clock at night, I suppose. It's quite extraordinary. And then we worked our way back to Trafalgar Square. And down, I think it must have been down Pall Mall, they had the old gas lamps which stood up all down either side of the street. And somebody brilliantly had lit the gas flares that were still coming out, still able to be turned on in these flares. And all down the street there were these big flares rising up. And, of course, because there was no blackout, all the windows were the curtains were drawn and the rooms were full of people. It was the most extraordinary night, and my brother and I, walked the streets of London all night and didn't get home until about 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. And wherever one went, you went down to Westminster Abbey and then you turned around and you went up to St. Paul's. And we just walked the streets all night and laughed. And yet, as I said earlier, people were not drunk. I mean, I'm sure that some people were drunk. I'm sure later on in the night people went and had celebratory drinks. But the extraordinary thing was that most of the crowd was not drunk. They were just totally intoxicated with the idea of the end of the war. So we went back for the milk that night and let ourselves in very, very early in the morning. It was more than this wonderful, wonderful day. Wonderful night. After that, of course, the factory had no more work to do, but it was still kept on because that was only as far as Europe went, and there was still work to be done for the Far East, where the war was still continuing. And I worked in the factory for about another 6 weeks, and then my mother, who had been very unwell, had a very serious operation, and so I was demobbed a bit early and went back to Cornwall to look after her. And so that was the end of my factory work. And I must tell you about an extraordinary journey back to Cornwall I'd had during the war. Must have been about a year before the end of the war, I suppose. I'd wanted to get on the train to go down to Cornwall late at night, and it was the night train down, and I couldn't. When I got to Paddington, they'd shut the doors and closed the barriers and said there was no room. And I was standing next to a sailor who wanted to get back to Plymouth, and he said, "Come on, we'll get in over the fence at the back." So we ran round the side of Paddington and climbed over the fence. It was quite high. He heaved me over, and we ran across the tracks and managed to get into the train further down without having to go through the barriers. And we managed to stand in the corridor. It was terribly crowded. There wasn't a seat anywhere. And I was standing beside a great big tall marine, I think he was, and the sailor who'd helped me. And we stood all night, all the way down. And when we got to Bristol, there was a lot of people, a lot of men trying to get on the train. And the chaps, the sailor beside me, was feeling terribly sick, very ill. And he said, "I'm going to be sick." And I said, I'll help you." And he got out of the train, and I helped him across to the seat and pushed his head down between his knees because he was feeling so faint. And he said, "I'm all right. I've got my ditty bag. I'll stay here and get the next train on." And I went back to get into the train again. And two soldiers had got in, and they leant out of the window and they said, "You're not coming in here. We've taken your place. You'll just stay here. It's your bad luck." And the Marine, who'd been standing beside me, got hold. He heard what the soldiers said, and he pushed open the door and seized hold of these two men by the scruff of their necks and threw them out on the platform and pulled me in and shut the door. And I was most immensely grateful to this man. But he explained why. He had been in one of the ships, I think it was the Imperial off Crete, when she was bombed terribly heavily by the Germans and was left sinking. And he was in on a float or a Carly float or something where she was going down. And my father was in HMS Oran at that point. And Oran turned back to rescue these men in the sea. And this marine had been picked up by my father's ship and had been taken back to Alexandra. And so we'd been talking about Crete and the evacuation, and he told me about it on the way down. And that's why he said he wasn't going to let me being left on Bristol platform. Well, it was an extraordinary, extraordinary coincidence to meet this man, fine man. But I stood all the way to Bodmin Road, and having stood all day at the factory on my feet, I was absolutely exhausted by the time I got there. I hardly walk. Odd that coincidences happen like that, wouldn't they?
Yes. How do you feel now about having been in the Second World War?
I think all my generation probably feels that it was, in an extraordinary way, the most important time in our lives. Because if we hadn't fought, everybody, if we hadn't fought and if we hadn't prevented the invasion and the subjugation of this country, that this country would have been swallowed up under the evil that was Nazi Germany, and that we would have never been the same country again. And I think one was aware of it in those days, and I think that I certainly am still aware of it now, that all the things that people find difficult to talk about, like honour and tradition and patriotism and belief in what is right, freedom, and all those things which sometimes are mocked at, I think unintentionally, but they are not allowed for in the way they should be, that all those things were part and parcel of what one was fighting for. And they've been preserved because we were successful in the war. So it was immensely important. I think people say, oh, well, of course, our generation lost so much. So many of my husband's friends were killed. A number of friends of mine were killed. My father was wounded and had a terribly hard war. And our generation all suffered. But it was necessary in the scheme of things, in the history of things. And I'm glad that everybody did what they did, really. And extraordinary looking back on it now. 50 years ago, more than that.
Thank you.